Here on the Rural Radio Network, Chad Moyer with you. It's time for an update and our weekly discussion with Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we tuck markets here on a Friday morning. Roy, good to have you on here today. And you last week we talked, you were at the Commodity Classic down in Kissimmee, Florida, and you took in the sights and sounds of the Classic and Florida. What'd you think of the meeting down there last week?
Commodity Classic just continues to improve year after year. Back in my old days with the Soybean Association, we used to call it Soybean Expo, and it was strictly for soybeans. And a while back, they merged and started including the corn growers, and then some years later, they added on the sorghum producers and the wheat growers. And it was a great time. Excuse me. It was a great time. We had 6,500 farmers there. They were scattered out in hotels, I don't know how far apart, but we had some really good sessions, and it's always good to get together with some people from my old days of the Soybean Association. Some of them I only see once a year, so it was a great time, and warm weather and sunshine, the whole works.
Back to the task at hand, if you will, watching the markets here this week. What's kind of your take on what has happened to the markets here this week?
Well, it's been pretty interesting to watch. The soybeans have certainly had their ups and downs, and pretty volatile mixture there, and I don't exactly know the factor why. There's been, of course, speculation about the southern hemisphere crop, and the southern hemisphere crop is pretty well made now, but the problem they're having now is getting it out for export. They don't seem to be able to accomplish the deliveries like they'd like to, and so that certainly has helped nearby soybean cash and futures prices, because buyers that want soybeans, even though they're very expensive, have to come to the United States. Corn market, boy, day before yesterday, we had a bad day in the corn market. We still got extremely good basis on corn here at the Midwest Co-op, 17 over the nearby futures. And when you see a basis like that, you got to think that there's some potential for that corn market to rally a little bit, even though it sure didn't look like it on Wednesday this week.
Let's maybe talk a little bit about that, the difference between what's going on right now and what the market's opinion of new crop is, because we were talking about that before, kind of the difference between or what is perceived as risk, I guess, huh, Roy?
That seems to be the issue. You know, I sit here and look at this bid sheet, and it shows 708 for corn for nearby delivery, and for delivery this fall, 497. Now, that's $2 in, if I'm calculating this right, $2.06 lower for harvest time delivery. And, you know, the conversation we had was what is risk and how is it perceived? Normally, this time of year, the market looks at the potential for the growing crop, and they say, well, there are a lot of things can happen to the crop between now and harvest time, and so we better bid up to get a little bit of that new crop bought. And the other side of it that we're seeing now is the market's looking at the price of corn and the fact that we don't have any risk because the seed is still in the ground, and so we have the potential for raising a huge crop, and therefore we're not going to bid up for it. And so we see this tremendous spread between old crop and new crop, and, you know, it's easy to get interested in selling corn at $7. It's a lot harder to get interested in it at $4.97.
So, you know, with that, the seed still being in the bag, if you will, and if some saying, well, there's not a whole lot of risk on the table, how does that play into crop insurance? Because, you know, that harvest price that was established in February, you know, maybe reflects a little bit of the enthusiasm as of late, doesn't it?
I think it does. I think that the crop insurance guarantee being quite a bit under today's price indicates that the trade is really not concerned about the risk. And so, boy, it would be nice if this crop insurance level was $15 on beans and $7 on corn like the cash market is. But it's not. And so basically we're stuck with a guarantee that maybe is lower than what any of us like, and certainly at least with corn, we're probably 497, maybe a little below cost of production on some of this cash-rented land that at a pretty high level, or land that was bought at $10,000 an acre.
Yeah. So what are the keys that we got to kind of think about from here on out? You know, we're working our way through March now. What are we watching for?
Two things, I think. One of them is that if you want to forward price corn or soybeans, you really need to forward price it with futures or hedge-derived contracts so you leave the basis open. Leaving the basis open really gives you an opportunity to see some higher prices at harvest than what they are today, even though the futures may not move very much, but just the fact that the basis has an opportunity to improve considerably from what it is. I don't think that corn basis at harvest time probably is going to be positive, but I also don't think it's going to be 4,500 December futures. So that's something to watch for. And the other thing, I guess, is that between now and 1st of June is historically has been a time of pretty good prices. And if you've got old crop in the bin, you need to be thinking about making some sales on rally days because, you know, if you're betting on a drought, we might get it and we might not, but you don't want to get stuck with corn or beans in the bin.
And for folks that want more information from you, Roy, how do you get it?
Roy@soyroy.com is my email address. Soyroy.com, my website.
I appreciate the information. Thanks for the talk, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'll look forward to it.
Hey, that's Soy Roy, Roy Smith from Cass County, Nebraska, as we update the markets like we do every Friday morning, right here on KTIC, Chad Moyer reporting.